This is the Heart of LAFC Podcast, episode 112.
The City of Angels is black and gold. You are listening to the Heart of LAFC Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Jerry Jimenez and Joseph Zacher.
What is up? Welcome to the Heart of LAFC Podcast. My name is Jerry Jimenez, your host, your friend, your insider into the Los Angeles Football Club. Thank you for joining Joseph and I for episode 112 of the Heart of LAFC. Is that where we are?
I think that's the show.
I think that's where we are.
Yeah.
What's going on, Joe?
Oh, man, recovering from Vegas, I got to say. Yeah, what? It was a good trip.
Dude, the concert looked like you had a great time. You and the wifey, I saw the pictures. It was, remind me, Flogging Molly and...
Flogging Molly, Social D, yep.
Nice. What a concert.
Yeah. It was four bands that were up on stage, but those are the two big boys. Sure. And 40th anniversary of Social Distortion.
Wow.
So I saw a lot of guys that are pushing 50 in the middle of the mosh pit. It was pretty interesting. It's kind of a trip.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a good show. Good show.
I went to a concert too, by the way. I went to Mana here, and that was a really good concert as well.
Nice.
But we had a little bit of trouble. There were some people. We were in the lawn, and there were some people that like were just super disrespectful. So, anyways, I felt very, very old because I was like, oh, I just want to sit down and enjoy this concert. I don't want to be standing up. And that's when I was like looking at your videos, and you guys were like right up against the mosh pit. And I'm like,
oh dude, it moved into us, and we're like, I'm not leaving. This is my spot. It's a good view.
Yeah,
I have to throw an elbow or two. That's fine, you know. But I'm here,
man. So.
Well, it was good. We'll be seeing Mana in like November. We have tickets to see him in November.
It's a good one.
So, you know, you have to, right?
Yeah. I mean, so that was the first time I've seen him before. I actually got really lucky. Whenever I tell people this, they get upset at me if they weren't there. I got to see Mana open. Actually, Ozo Motley opened Mana and Santana. So I got to see those three bands in one concert. And bringing it back to LA and LAFC. Ozo Motley, that was the first time I've ever seen them. Amazing, amazing band, and probably one of my favorite bands of all time now.
I
actually took the wife to see them as well. Great show. Fantastic show. When they go out into the crowd, man, it's just...
The circle, right?
The drum circle?
Sneaking through everybody, and it's a good show. I remember seeing them back in the day when I was still in college, and they used to play Friday nights at Hollywood Park. Yeah, that. And we'd go to the races and then see him play. So, awesome. Good times. Old Super times.
Cool. Yeah. And bringing it back to, from Mana and from Social Distortion and Flogging Molly and Mosh Pits.
Ozo and,
Let's bring it back to LAFC because we have quite a bit to talk about. We need to get into this. One to the loons. Let's get into it. So, Los Angeles Football Club and Minnesota United FC played to a 1-1 draw on Sunday night at Allianz Field, not to be confused with Allianz Arena. Forward Carlos Vela tied the single-season record for goals in a year, scoring his 31st of the campaign in the club's final road game of 2019. I had a feeling he was going to do that, but I also was hoping that he would get his 32nd and so that we wouldn't have to wait until the last game. Because now... That record, it's going to happen.
There's several records that are going to go down to the last day.
Isn't that crazy, man? Talk about decision day. Decision day, actually, we were like, decision day, whatever. But it's actually, we need to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, I mean, we have chances for what? Portland, Earthquakes. Like, dude, there's a lot of teams that could be bounced that honestly could thwack the teams that are already in. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a good decision day. And somehow, some way, Colorado, are they not out of it yet?
Colorado? That's a good question. Look it up.
Yeah, I think they're barely, they have to get a lot of help. But,
I honestly haven't been paying too much attention, but
they're not going to make it, but it is what it is.
Oh, my face just went, there we go. My face went dark because my computer screen.
The light went off.
Yeah. Oh man. Shout out to everybody that is shout out to everybody that is in the chat room right now. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. And everybody listening on the podcast as well. So yeah, let's keep it going. If you want to look that up, Joe, real quick, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So looking here at the standings.
So despite a number of chances for both sides in the first half, including a Brian Rodriguez shot that hit the crossbar in the 34th minute, the teams would head to the locker rooms scoreless. After the restart, goalkeeper Pablo Cisniega, making his sixth appearance of the year, denied Angelo Rodriguez with two critical saves early to keep the game 0-0. It felt like he denied him a lot more than two times. But
Stats show it, too. Yeah.
LAFC would finally take the lead in the 70th minute. Diego Rossi finding Vela at the top of the box after taking a quick touch inside the Mexican forward, sent a curling left-footed shot. Where have I seen that before?
Mr. Automatic.
Got it past Mr. Vito Manone at the far post. That was his record tying goal. So Vela has now scored in 8 consecutive matches he has appeared in, dating back to the 4-2 victory over the New York Rebels on August 11th. The lead would last just about 5 minutes as free kick found a wide open Michael Box on the box, and the defender flicked the header past Cisniega and into the back of the net. We will talk about, obviously, Cisniega, fantastic, but also a few errors in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just to throw it in there real quick, my captain, your captain, everyone's captain, was announced today as the player of the week for the 30th week of the 2000 MLS season. This is Vela's fifth player of the week honor. Previously winning the award for his performance in the 2nd, the 5th, the 18th, and the 25th week of play. Vela continues his historic season by scoring 2 goals this week, equaling the all-time MLS single-season scoring record of 31 set by Joseph Martinez. With 31 goals scored, Vela leads the league in goals and ranks 3rd with 15 assists. He's the only player in MLS history to record 30-plus goals and 15 assists in a single season. We all thought he was going to get 30-20. Didn't quite happen. Whatever. Listen here. Carlos Vela is breaking records. Carlos Vela is Velaing all over the place. He, what a great, great player he is. Actually, Major League Soccer just released a video of Vela, and it's the making of something. I need to go back and look at it, but it's basically a video on Carlos Vela, and it is a beautiful, beautiful thing to look at. So make sure you go and check it out. Actually, I might repost it if I can find it here real quickly, but here it is. Yeah, it's called La Magia de Carlos Vela, or The Magic of Carlos Vela. And you can look it up actually here on YouTube where you're watching us and check that out. It's a short video, but it just kind of goes into just how much we love Carlos Vela and why. So, congratulations to him. By the way, the team of the week also, I believe, Eduard Atuesta made it.
Yep, without a doubt. There's a reason why he's still in the voting for MVP. Both of them getting looks. I think we all know who it's going to go to. If it doesn't, it's a crime. But, dude, both of them have been a revelation this year. Vela's game has a different dynamic to it. I mean, He's a different type of player than anybody expected him to be in this league. And Atuesta has grown into being a full-timer, all-star prospect. Paid me to go to Europe for the way he's been playing. But, yeah, all around one of the top players in the league this year. So we got lucky in that case. And he just keeps going. He's consistent in what he does. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So to go over this game, we must start with our formation. Or I should say our lineup, not our formation. We know the formation. It's 4-3-3. That's never going to change. Well, I'm not going to say never, but if it ever happens where it changes, it's weird. 4-3-3 in the back, this is where it gets weird. I was not expecting Palacios to start. Palacios gets his first appearance with the club, and it's a start. Number 12, Palacios in the left. Back position, we have Segura, Blackman, as center backs, Beta Shore on the right. I really like this four in the back. I really, really do. And then in front of him, we had Wynn, Atuesta, and K. Blessing was starting on the bench, which was also interesting to me. Also really like this midfield. And then up front, these three still kind of making, you know, their connection. Rossi, Vela, and Brian Rodriguez there on the right. I like it. It still needs some work. It still needs a lot of work. Brian Rodriguez still not scoring a goal. I think...
Snake bit. He should have had a goal. Everybody knew it. He hit it right. It just didn't happen.
Yeah. Again, Pablo Cisniega, though, starting at goal. I kind of skimmed past that. But also, I mean, a fantastic job from him. Again, still a little rocky. I could say the same for Tyler Miller. I think it's been the same back and forth. However, I do get a feeling that some of the saves that Cisniega made, I wouldn't have felt as comfortable I don't feel as comfortable saying that Tyler Miller could have easily made that save as well.
He made six saves inside of the box. Shots inside the box, he actually made saves.
Okay.
Six, yeah. Point blank. It's stuff that I haven't really seen Tyler Miller as the shot stopper on these kind of saves. The issue, though, was this Niega is some of them were self-inflicted scoring situations. Mm-hmm. And so that's something to say is it's impressive to see the saves. It's not as impressive as when you started the fire that you had to put out. To me is the safe bet on what I saw. But honestly, there were some that lights out. Like he stole the point for us in a way because they had the chances to take us out in this game. It got late. We got sloppy. They had the chances to take us out, and he did step up in the most opportune times to do so. The goal against, yes, there are some questions of whether he could have been more aggressive on the play. Honestly, what I saw was just a busted play. Palacios didn't pull up high enough on the play. That's just lack of experience being together. And, yeah, you get a free header in the box, you should put it away. So
It just Palacios basically gave them the opening because he didn't hold that line in the back. He kept them on. So yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that I mean, dude, that's the first time we see him. That's not a terrible, terrible mistake, but one that he's probably got an earful for.
He'll want it back, no doubt.
Oh, for sure, absolutely. I feel like we should have gotten another goal in this game.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they looked the beginning of this game. They were on fire, man. They looked like they came on. They're like, we're winning this game, no matter what. And that's what it felt like. And that really made me excited because it made me feel like, oh my god, I think we're back.
If they play like that in the playoffs, it's gonna pay off. Yeah. I mean, that first half is what we need. I mean, that is what we need from these guys. I honestly believe that a big reason for that was because of stability in the back. Palacios played much more conservative than Harvey does. That is the truth. A lot more limiting. I believe that he was in there because he needed to match speed with Toye. And that was the whole assignment is, well, we know what they play. We know their counter. We know the counter speed. Let's match it, and we know where they're going to come after us. And so that's exactly what the lineup showed, is you put a little bit more speed out there. Also, it seems like Blackman works better with Cisniega than Zimmerman does.
Mm-hmm.
So Blackman gets the start.
I noticed that.
Yeah, there's a communication thing going on there. There's something working with that lineup when Cisniega plays. So it's kind of interesting, but it made sense, and ultimately Toye got marked out of the match. Between Segura and Palacios, there wasn't much he could do on the day, and he ended up getting subbed out in the game in a critical time. And it actually boosted them to take him off the field.
Yeah.
So they did their job with him. The assignment was right. Bob made the proper adjustments and took out their greatest threat for the day, at least who hurt us the most the last time we played. But, you know, we didn't get the full 90 in from everybody, and that's where we ended up at. And... yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it's at. Ultimately, though, we were the better team on the day. We just didn't get the full 90 out of everybody. And that's never fun. But, again, we were playing at their house. Home cooking means a lot. Terrible fields do, too. I mean, I kind of felt a draw coming on for this one.
I did, too.
Felt that was going to be the case. Turned out to be that way, and hey, we got to win at home. That's fine by me.
Here's the thing. I think I can honestly say that they gave us, at the time, they gave us their best lineup they possibly could.
Yes.
They only made two changes. One of them, as you just mentioned, was Mason Toya, halftime, was already taken out because he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah,
he was completely shut down. And Angelo Rodriguez came in and actually had some really good opportunities.
Yeah.
Now, in the 70th minute, they took out Ethan Finley and put in Robin Lloyd, right?
Yeah.
And that was it. Those are the two changes. They didn't use all three. They put out their best product. When they take out those players only and they don't use their third one, that tells you they put out what they believe was the best possible product. And we did not.
No, so we didn't have to.
That speaks, you know, that speaks well of us and what is in our bench, which is what I wanted to jump into right now. We had Tyler Miller, Jordan Harvey, Dejan Djokovic, Mohamed El-Munir, Walker Zimmerman, Adrian Paris, and Latif Blessing. A very defensive bench. Like, they already knew that we may need just those changes. But if you look at those names on there, that is a fantastic bench to have. He knew what he was, you know, obviously they know what they're doing, but like, I love that, man. I still wonder, though, again, with the forwards that we have, Adrian Paris, great, but that was the only forward in this lineup that we had as a sub. So what's going on with Rodolfo Zelaya? What's going on? I'm not sure that we came in here. To me, look, the weird part was we came in here, we're going to win. But our bench says otherwise. Our bench says we're going to defend as much as humanly possible, not attack. Did he feel just that kind of confidence that he's just like, these guys are going to get the job done? Or
I think
something else? I
think he built this team to take a lead and hold it and learn how to hold it and get used to that transition for the playoffs, because it was much more conservative in terms of the way the back line was built. They didn't come up as much as they usually do. Adjustments were made to look more like a playoff style. That's what it looked like to me, which are going to be a low-scoring grinder match. What you see in the regular season is not what you see in MLS playoffs. It is not the same animal. And so the lineup kind of showed that. You know, you bring in Wynn for experience, right? You know what he's going to bring. Is it going to be lights out? No, that's not how he plays. You'll get possession. You'll get good distribution. At Tuesta and K, you know how they're going to grind out there. So you built for the grind. And they won the midfield as far as I'm concerned. They were fine. They were fine. If Rodriguez is a little lucky, we walk away with the victory. Okay. Honestly, he played a more complete match than he's played before. He's just very unfortunate. They're saying what? He's got six posts now since joining us?
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, how does not one finally just fall in? You know, like, it's just bad luck for him. It's not like he's not making the right decisions, because he is. He's taking the right challenges. It just isn't paying off yet for him. Rossi, he played his game on and off at certain times, but essential when he needed to be. Vela, you know, I think he's getting used to trying to shift more to the middle now. He does prefer being out on the right, and he's being forced into the middle because of the lineup that we have. But he's the kind of player that can make that adjustment and keep going. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
If anything, I'd say this. I have more questions than answers going into the playoffs because of this game.
Same, exactly.
Yeah. You know, there's things I thought he was settled on going in with two games to play. The Cisniega move changed that opinion. The Blackman move changed that opinion. Seeing Palacios out there changes it for me a bit. I'm not sure now what our best 11 is for the playoffs at this point.
I'll tell you what.
We think there's a typical starting 11. But I'm not quite sure that's our starting 11 for the playoffs.
No, but I think that what he's trying to do, and when we say he, clearly, you know, we're talking about Bob Bradley. What he's trying to do is, I believe he has two games to basically just play with, and he's taking full advantage of it. Right?
Yeah,
we have nothing more to worry about. I mean, you know, yes, we're chasing history, blah blah blah. But do you really think that Bob Bradley cares that much about that or more about making sure that we win in the playoffs. I think that's his concern. And so he's throwing this out there because, hey, Palacios has never played. Let's see how he plays. Now that he's gotten this experience and he saw what how it went down, now I think this last game we're going to see something completely crazy again. And I think maybe we're going to get a better idea of what the playoff team is going to look like. Because he's still messing around with the lineup, clearly. When was Palacios taken out? Let's see here.
Right now.
The 84th minute. So he had 84 minutes to play. Lee Wynn, 80th minute. Brian Rodriguez, 76th minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I think he has a pretty good idea of now. He's probably like, I wanted to see. I want to see how Palacios does. I want to see how Wynn does starting out here. And then I want to see how Brian Rodriguez is going to do again and give him some time. And then I'm just going to throw in the people that I normally would finish the job, which is, you know, Omonir, Perez, and Blessing. Perez is a weird one for me.
Here. Pacer.
Yeah.
He paces. That's what he does.
He had some good moments, too.
He keeps you honest. So, yeah, you cheat too much, he's going to burn you. I mean, it's that simple. Omonir, his stock keeps rising. You know,
yes.
He goes in. I'm perfectly happy with what he puts out there. I'd feel confident if he was a starter on this team. Not a problem. He's doing fine. And he's showing that as an option. So at left back, we're pretty darn comfortable right now.
Yep.
Whoever he chooses, it all depends on the assignment. If we're playing a team that paces, if we have to play Minnesota, I don't want Harvey out there. That's settled. But if we're playing a San Jose, okay, maybe. Even though they did know how to play against Harvey, they kind of exposed him first. Mm-hmm. But he'd be okay. If you're playing a more build-up team, yeah, Harvey's the right choice, right? But if it's a running gun, long ball, you might think twice.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows our options, definitely. But, it raises questions. If you're putting Cisniega in the match, are you telling us that the job isn't settled yet, right? Is that how it's supposed to, or is it more to complicate the other side that has to play us eventually? Like, what are we going to see out there?
Yeah.
Because now we have a layoff. We play Colorado, then we have a layoff before the playoffs actually start. What happens in that time period, right?
Yeah.
What are we going to see? So, yeah, more questions than answers in this game. Some promise from certain players. I like Palacios and his distribution. He had one cross through the box that if guys would just read him, it would have been an easy finish.
Dude, I saw some little signs of brilliance from him that really got me excited. There's a couple times when I was like, whoa, what did he do?
That's why we got him.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, stat-wise, he had, 86 touches on the day, 83% passing, 51 total accurate passes, 4 crosses made, 3 out of 6 on the long ball, 6-1 on duels. Hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good on the duels, right? 6-1. So he didn't lose much in his area. Again, one mistake on the day and got punished for it. Unfortunate.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. He stood out to me. Atuesta, of course, always stands out. 94 total passes, 87% passing. K. Segura was distributing like crazy from his zone. All good on the day. Those are the guys that really stood out to me the most. And of course, the lightning bolt himself. It's just, again, unfortunate, but I'm seeing more from him each week.
Same.
You're just waiting. I think if one falls, two or three fall. Like he'll start flying. He just needs that.
It's the Diego Rossi. I think that's a Uruguayan thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
How long were we like, why is he not scoring? Why isn't the ball going in? And then as soon as he got one, two, three, four came, five came, six came. And what is he at now? Like 13?
Yeah, I know. He's flying. Right, I could see Rodriguez going on a tear in the playoffs. If he can pop one against Colorado, you could see the confidence building, and we got a juggernaut. You know,
yeah.
My hope is that when we go and play Colorado this weekend, that we knock out a few things, get things tuned up, and let it rip.
Sure,
that's the hope. That's the hope.
Yeah. If you guys remember, Colorado beat us earlier in the season, and so. There's some stats. There's some cool stuff that our boy, LAFC Benjamin Vidhin, put up on Twitter that I'll go over here in just a sec. I said 13 from Diego Rossi. It's actually 16. I was off by 3. in the right way. So yeah, so it's Carlos Vela 31, Diego Rossi 16, Adama Diomande sending out lots of hugs, buddy. He's at 8. Latif Blessing with 6. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark Anthony K with 4. So there you go.
Check them out. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Mark Anthony K had a few more last season than he did this season. Oh, nope, I'm wrong. He only had 2. He doubled it.
He doubled it. He's healthy. Yeah.
My bad. Latif Blessing, I want to see real quick. He had 5 goals. So he beat it this season as well. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff from those guys. So everybody's stepping up. That's the thing that everybody keeps talking about. Is you, yes, Carlos Vela this, Carlos Vela that. But this has been a complete team effort. And it's beautiful to see. So do you want to end it up and so we can start talking about Colorado, man?
Yeah, I'll just say this. I know everybody, Vela. Yes, he's the best player probably to ever play in this league. I'm just going to throw it out there. What he's doing this year is amazing.
Absolutely.
But would he do that without the tools around him?
Absolutely not.
No, I think the team is built exactly for what he can do. And that's the beauty of this sport, right? So he has a team around him that actually brings out the best in him, and he's capable of bringing out better from his own teammates. So we just have that great chemistry up top. Where we can afford to throw away chances because we're just going to keep getting more. But in the playoffs, more efficiency is required, of course.
Yeah.
It's been one heck of a year going into the last game. Yeah, I'm definitely ready to move on from this match. I kind of had the feeling where we were at, and so I don't think we have to get too lost in the stats. We dominated in most cases. The only thing we didn't dominate on was shots on target where they had 7, and we had 5. Lack of accuracy. Mm-hmm. That's about it. I don't really think we need to add more to it. We know what they have. It's going to be tough if we play them in the playoffs, but guess what? It's at home, so bring it.
Bring it. And to throw that, throw some information in there for playoffs, because I saw it pop up here in the chat room. We get a first-round bye in the playoffs, which means the first round is going to be played. There's going to be 6 games, and that is 3 for the Eastern Conference, 3 for the Western Conference, and those will be played October 19th and 20th. So make sure that you check those out. Based on whoever wins the Western Conference, if I'm not mistaken, at this point it's going to be the 4th and the 5th in the West.
Yeah, so right now if the season were to end today, it would RSL be Galaxy hosting Real Salt Lake.
Yes.
And the winner of that game plays us.
So 4th and 5th in the West would play us, and that's going to be on the 23rd or 24th of October, and that would be considered the conference semifinals. So there you have it, October 23rd and 24th. So Wednesday or Thursday, okay?
Yeah.
And then we have after that, we make it past that, and we go into the conference finals of the 29th or 30th, and then the MLS Cup would be November 10th.
Yep.
Mark your calendars. All right.
Mark it. Interesting stuff with the playoffs if you really look at the breakdown. Anyway, I wish you could mention that with Colorado if we want to transition into those guys. But
yeah, go for it.
Kind of there, right?
They're right there. So they're at 42 points. If they beat us, they would jump FC Dallas. So it's basically on FC Dallas's it's up to
or
FC
San
Dallas.
Jose.
Or San Jose. So San Jose, FC Dallas, Portland Timbers, there's still one spot left. The Eastern Conference is done. Right? No.
Yeah, Eastern Conference, they're just jockeying for position.
Yes. That's no, it's just position.
So Chicago got eliminated last game, and so New England took that last spot, amazingly enough. Dude, talk about Bruce Arena saving the day again, right?
Wow.
He does it again.
Wow.
The guy finds ways, right? He just owns this league. He just does.
You know, he had a quote. He said something like, I think I don't like that everybody's making a big deal out of the fact that we made it into the playoffs. That's nothing. We need to win the cup. That's what matters.
But he's right. I mean, New England's been there since 96 and done nothing. So
yeah,
he got to a final one time. So yeah, interesting stuff on the West because it does we play a major role in this. Minnesota's at 53 behind us. Seattle's at 53. Galaxy 51. Real Salt Lake 50. What you know now is that Minnesota, Seattle, Galaxy, Salt Lake can't. None of them can finish below 5th place. So whoever's in the 4 or 5 spot, it's among those four teams. That's what I see here. So it's kind of interesting how it's going to play itself out. All likelihood, you're going to see the Galaxy in Salt Lake no matter what happens this weekend. It looks like that might be the case. Maybe, maybe Seattle gets bumped into the fourth spot. Maybe. After that, 6-8. Portland's in 6 with 46. Dallas, 45. San Jose, 44. Colorado Rapids with 42. Best the Rapids can do is 45, which would match Dallas's record. Dallas, basically, they're matched on wins, so this could get really interesting. San Jose is kind of the odd team there with 44 points. If they just do their job, then it doesn't really matter what happens. I think Colorado's toast. Odds of them making it are little and none. They'd have to kick our butts pretty much to get where they need to go. Portland, I'd be amazed if they don't make it. So that's where it stands. I think we're going to have a good team missing out. At least teams have turned things around for themselves this year, not making it out of the West.
Yeah.
So the dangerous West.
So the chat room chiming in here, Jason Arellano, LAFC Punk. What's up, man? Welcome. He said, actually, I think New England has been to 3 finals and lost all 3. And you would be actually correct, sir. They actually went to consecutive MLS Cup finals in 2003 and 2004. And they were also in the 2007 MLS Cup.
So, no wins.
No wins. But yes. No wins. Good stuff. Thank you for chiming in. And I just looked it up real quick as we're talking. So, it's... You know,
man. Okay, so thank you, sir, for getting that one up there.
Yeah.
So if Colorado's us, Colorado.
If you come to us for facts, wrong place.
Thank you for the facts. all right. So interesting stuff with Colorado. Before we can even go too much into them, this is Tim Howard's last match, possibly.
There you go,
MLS
man.
As a professional.
Possibly
this could be it.
I'm glad you say that because people tend to come back from the dead, apparently. In this
game. They do. They do. Or they show up playing indoor soccer in Ontario. I don't know.
Representing a completely different city. That
weird.
That he now lives in. Anyways.
Yeah.
Hey, don't talk about him like that. He's my buddy now. All right.
Who's your buddy now?
Donovan?
Oh, I was talking about Jones, man.
That's true. That's true. It's very true. See, it's happened more than once.
It's happened more than once. Exactly.
Jeez. Exactly.
So it's Tim Howard's swan song, guys. Oh, so you're actually going to see the end of an era if you get to go to the game. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit of a montage in his honor in our own house. It's just something that, again, respect for what he's done. An amazing player. He's done too much for the United States national team, right? He's put up with way too much for the United States national team.
Glory, also.
And so now this is it for him, you know? If somehow they survive and beat us, then I'm not going to be the happiest camper in the world, and maybe he gets that odd chance to play on, but I doubt it. We'll see what happens on the day. He'll probably play the game of his life against us anyways because it's his last shot. What's he got to lose?
Yep. He's going to break every bone. He don't care.
He don't care. It's the end.
I have a lot of respect for him. I'm, you know, as you know, I'm a Red, so there's that. Just talking about the work that he's done. I saw somebody say this, you know, he made the goalkeeping position cool, and he kind of did, along with Jorge Campos, for me personally. There was very, very few iconic goalkeepers, very limited goalkeepers, and he's one of them. He's one of those iconic goalkeepers. So yes, they're gonna come out and they're gonna the club itself, should you mention how many out of the last 6 games they've actually won? It's been
Colorado?
Quite a bit. Yes.
They've won 4 out of the last 5.
4 out of the last 5.
Yeah, and check out these teams they've beaten. Dang. Dallas, Salt Lake, the Galaxy, Seattle. Shall I keep going? Yes. Yeah. Red Bulls.
Yes. Sorry.
Red Bulls. They lost to Salt Lake. They tied Houston. They actually beat the Earthquakes if you go back to August 10th. So Teams they've lost to in this run, they lost to Minnesota in Minnesota, Salt Lake in Salt Lake, Toronto in Toronto. That's it. That's since August 14th.
Yeah. Just a couple things. So I mentioned that we were going to get into this Colorado game, and we kind of started talking about it already, but yeah. I have a little write-up here that I don't, you know, I want to read. So yeah. Heading into the final game of the regular season, LAFC, who is currently 69 points. They'll have a chance to break the record for most points in a single season against the Colorado Rapids on Sunday, October 6th. Record, which is 71, we have the possibility of making it 72. Kickoff on Decision Day is scheduled for 1 p.m. Pacific time at Banc of California Stadium. An early one, finally, on a Sunday. Coverage will be on YouTube TV, Univision, KVMD, you know, ESPN 710 a.m. and KFWB 980. So, and I'll repeat that here near the end of the pod, but our buddy, Mr. LAFC Benjamin Virgen, who writes for heartoflafc.com, go check out his writing. But he posted up some stuff that I really wanted to go over and kind of throw out there before we jump into what this club looks like. The Colorado Rapids have won 5 out of their last 6 games. 4 of those victories have been against playoff teams, as you just mentioned, the Red Bulls, Seattle Galaxy, and Dallas. One of the hottest teams in the league visit the Banc on Sunday. LAFC will have their hands full for sure. And then he says, not only have the Rapids won 5 out of their last 6, 3 of those games have been shutouts for Tim Howard. So Colorado will look to be the only team to beat LAFC twice this season. And although the Rapids only have 3 wins on the road all year long, the motivation of a potential playoff qualification for them is enough to beat LAFC. With the win over the Black and Gold and losses from Dallas and San Jose, Colorado will be in the postseason. How crazy would that be, says Mr. LAFC Benjamin.
What a turnaround if they do it.
Yeah.
It's a story. Let's hope we break that story. But, yeah, honestly, they're dangerous. They're just simply dangerous because of who they have on their team, what they're capable of doing. Kamara, again, always finds a way to produce. Every year he produces. Doesn't matter what team he's playing on, how ugly it gets, how low they are in the standings,
he
produces.
Yeah, no, I know.
He produces. Hey, man, he's a fellow Toro, so I got nothing but love. Except when I'm he plays Toro, against us. 13 goals on the year, all right? But he's not alone because they also have, what, Diego Rubio, who's got 11 goals on the year. So it's a really interesting lineup they play. They basically play 3 in the back, 4 in the mid, 2 high mids, and a single striker.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically they get six heavy in the mid, or it turns into a bit of a 3-4-3 depending if they're pressing you. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. Basically, I have so much trouble with his name, but Shinyashiki and Rubio play behind Kamara, and that's kind of how they go at you.
Funky hairdo. That's like a dude, movie. That's a movie right there. Shinichiki and his funky hairdo.
Yeah, that's tough, man. These guys are not pushovers. They are not.
No. Kai Kamara with 13 goals, by the way. How old is this guy? I swear he's like 50 something. Hold on. Diego Rubio has 11. Shinichiki has 7. Lewis has 4. I'm pretty sure Shinichiki's going to be starting. That's like a given. Person that is a little downplayed is Jack Price, I would say, in the midfield, right?
10 assists on the year, man.
Dude, killing it. So Kai Kamara is, oh crap, he's my age.
No, I know. He just keeps going.
He's 35. So, yeah. I'm 34. He's older than me by a year.
Actually, how does he keep doing what he's doing at 35?
So just in case you didn't know, Kai Kamara, his career, he's played with Columbus Crew, San Jose Earthquakes, Houston Dynamo, Kansas City Wizards, Sporting Kansas City, Columbus Crew, New England Revolution, Vancouver Whitecaps, and now the Colorado Rapids.
The journeyman.
And he is not retiring yet. Can you say LAFC 2020? Please don't.
And what's funny is he still plays for his national team and scores consistently.
Oh my goodness. This guy scored 22 goals in 2015 for Columbus Crew. All right? Like,
yeah.
13 this season. He's pretty – look, he's a journeyman. This guy in 2018 scored 14 goals. In 2017 scored 12 goals. He keeps it right around there. Right? Like, what the heck? He keeps doing it. And he is a character. If you guys follow him on social media –
I love what he
from
does.
From Sierra Leone. Yeah. She mentioned that.
His recent game against Liberia, he scored actually. Somehow was watching that game. Weird stuff, right? I caught it right when he scored, which tripped me out. And I'm like, was that Kamara?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez, it is. And I was like, okay. And, you know, it's bizarre, right? But he just keeps doing what he does. Yeah, you know, and so we're going to be dealing with him. He's going to play target striker against us. You can't let him turn you. He will burn you.
Nope.
It's that simple. He can hit it from pretty much anywhere. He's got the power to do so. He can be an aerial threat when he needs to be. Again, you have to play him very, very, I wouldn't say aggressive, but you can't give him space. You can't do it. It's going to be a lot of work. I would be shocked if Zimmerman's not lining up with him and Segura, because you're going to need those guys against him. You just are. I think Blackman will be in for a bit of a workout if he's got to play against Kamara. I think he'd teach him a lesson or two. That's just the way I see it, is it's going to probably be Zim and Segura, because that's, you have to do it that way. Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great, great point. The chat room is now talking about my age. I should have never said I was 34. Apparently people don't believe I'm 34. There's gray hairs. I don't know if you can see them right there.
God, I hope they don't guess on me. That's just going to make me sad. Yeah. Kid.
Joseph actually looks older than he really is. Joseph is actually, he's 17.
Yeah.
17 going on,
I get the senior citizen discount. It's all good. 59. It's all good.
We're like around the same age, aren't we? Yes, that's how we're going
to
be.
Nah, I'm old.
No, we're going to leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at that.
Tiana's asking me what my secret is to look young. It's
podcast.
Podcasting actually ages me. I honestly didn't have gray hairs before I started this podcast. It's a thing now. Listen, it's going to be a fun game, and I think that's where we're going with this. Is Colorado is one of those teams that you cannot sleep on, and they've been showing it this season. You usually would hear Colorado Rapids, especially at the beginning of the season, and you're like, psh, whatever, right? When they beat us. Wasn't it like when they were at their worst?
It's like one of their first wins of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was horrendous at that time. Yeah. It was bad news. We all kind of. Yeah.
That's something we don't talk about too much.
But I mean, let's be honest. At home, right? 17 games played. They're 9-2-6. 9 wins, 6 losses. They turned things around completely at home. On the road, still struggling. 3 wins, 9 losses, 4 ties, -10 goal differential. Not that they're getting blown out of the park, but they don't produce wins that often. 3 on the road, that's it all year. So those are happening towards the end, but yeah. Still, you know, they struggle on the road. So for us, we just need to be careful. They're capable. We know that.
Yep. Very true. One thing, another point that we need to make is, I just threw it up here on the screen, but Hector Robledo in the chat room said, at least our boys will play on a solid field this time. That Minnesota turf was brutal. Oh my gosh, dude. That thing had so many divots in it. Like, it was ridiculous by the end of it. You know that they actually took the field up now? They're getting ready
for it. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. They totally tore it up.
The entire thing, rather than fixing it, just took it all out. They're having an issue with their irrigation system, I guess. There was
drainage problems.
Irrigation, they're drainage. A couple of drains were clogged up, and they had to clear them out, and they had no access or something. But, yeah, man. Crazy stuff. Benjamin Virgen just joined us and is blessing us with his presence in the chat room.
Boom, boom, boom.
He threw something up here real quick. He said, you would imagine that with all the Mexico versus USA rivalry games, Carlos Vela would have a goal versus Tim Howard. And Vela has never scored a goal against Howard in international or MLS play. What a stat. And what a... Benjamin, I wish I could afford to pay you, sir, because this is the kind of stuff that we are like looking forward to. That's amazing. Yeah. So
check him out. Crazy. That was awesome, man.
Crazy.
That was awesome. Good call.
So this will be the first time Carlos Vela scores on Tim Howard.
Don't say it, man. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Dude.
The minute you predict, you know what happens. Oh, it backfires every time we make a prediction. Can't do it. Can't do it, man.
I'm not saying I didn't say it like it was fact. I did say it like it was fact, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Kind of did. Kind of did. It is. You're guilty. Oh, well. I kind of called a draw, and look what
it's
happened.
It's actually,
so.
It's literally, if you call stuff, you're the one that jinxes it. I have nothing to do with that. I'm good luck, as a matter of fact.
So you're saying it's your turn to jinx things.
Sure.
Wow.
Dude.
All right.
Oh, man.
What else do we have to go over, man? What else do we have to go over? Because we're running out of time here. We got to get going.
Oh, okay. So,
close it up.
Let's close out in the happiest way possible. Do not miss the game this weekend. I know the ticket is a hot ticket. I've been getting a ton of people asking me questions. It's a hot ticket. There could be something special in hand. Don't miss it. You want to see the supporter shield? Come on out. It should be out at the tailgate. We'll see how that plays out, but the plan is to have it at the tailgate.
Yes.
Join your groups. Join Los Tigres for the bike ride before the game.
Yes.
That's going to be insane. Totally cool. I hope I wake up early enough to do so.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. There's going to be breakfast burritos. I know we're doing breakfast burritos in our tent, and everybody else is going to have something. I heard some Food Network people are going to be there. Whatevs. It's going to happen, man. It's going to be a big party. Again, we have something to celebrate. We have the supporters shield. It has to make an appearance. Beyond that, we have all these records at play. You could be witnessing some crazy history if you go to this one. Highly likely that you'll witness history no matter what happens out there. But yeah, celebrate the boys.
I feel like you know
something. We're going to the playoffs, man.
I feel like you know something and you're telling us. We should all be there Sunday.
Be there.
All right.
Sunday.
Heading into the final season.
At the California Stadium.
Final game of the regular season. You will have a chance to witness LAFC possibly break the record for most points in a single season against the Rapids on Sunday. That is October 6th, kickoff decision day, 1 p.m., Bank of California Stadium. If you can't be there, I'm sorry. But you can watch it on YouTube TV, Univision KVMD, ESPN 710 AM, and KFWB 980. Any final thoughts, sir, before we call it a night?
A couple things. Shout out to the 3252 for once again doing things a little bit different out in Minnesota. The call to arms with the lights was pretty freaking cool.
Oh my gosh, dude. Amazing.
Who comes up with this? 3252, right? Once again, you guys, like, you find ways.
Wow.
That was amazing.
I was in Vegas, and I'm like, what's going on?
That was my reaction.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Shout out to the Bellagio. This was kind of crazy. Go to watch the fountains go off, and guess what song kicks off?
Which one?
Ecstasy of Gold.
Nice.
That was the fountain show, man. Can you write it any better?
I told my buddy, hey, one of my BFFs, Joseph, is going to be in Vegas. Can you do me a big old favor? You're welcome.
Dude, I was just like, it's a sign. It's a sign.
That's so crazy.
It's a sign. Yeah. So that was, yeah, it's recorded. I'll post it up eventually. Nice. But I had a good laugh. Shout out to the dude I met at the buffet at Planet Hollywood. big old LAFC fan. When he found out who I was, he's one of the chefs. We had a good old talk for about 10 minutes while he's on the clock. It was pretty funny.
Nice.
He's going to be coming out eventually to go check out a game. So that was awesome. Everywhere you go, LAFC. Good times. Great to be a fan of this team. Great to be a supporter. can't wait to see the show that we're going to put on this weekend. Yeah, are you going to make it, Jerry? Chances?
I'm doing the best I possibly can. I thought I had tickets, and if somebody can hook me up, I will be there. But
All right.
Yeah.
We got some work to do, people.
We do have
mission.
Some work to
get
do.
Jerry to the game.
So because my sister was going to give me tickets, just to give you guys an update of what's going on. So I reached out, and she's like, yeah, I put him up for sale. I'm like, oh, we'll take him out. I'll buy him from you. She said, oh, it's not letting me. So apparently they're not letting you take it back after you try to sell it, is what she said. Is she lying to me? Probably. But that's what's going on. So I need to
I'll say hi to her at the game for you. It's okay.
Oh, what a jerk. I know, right? I know. I'll figure it out. If anybody has some extra ones, hit your boy up. Hook him up. I don't even care where, but if specifically in the North End, I will hug you forever and ever. Okay. So is that it, Joe? Can we call it?
I think we can. Yeah, let's do this. Let's get ready for the playoffs. It's on.
Yeah, let's do this. Stay tuned for a car wash announcement. We're going to do a car wash to get Jerry some tickets. Tiana's going to put it together. And so make sure you stay tuned for that. That will be on all our social media. It's going to be Tiana washing cars. And Andy's going to be washing cars. And Ox, we're going to fly him down here. We're going to put him in a bikini, and he's going to be washing some cars for us. So, for Mr. Joseph Sacker, my name is Jerry Jimenez, and you have been listening to the Heart of LAFC podcast. Stay golden.
Thank you for listening to the Heart of LAFC. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. Shoulder to shoulder, the black and gold is taking over.
Wow.